folks. I want to apologize for all the technical difficulty this morning. We've had a change in some staff, I guess. Somebody's pushing the wrong buttons or something. I don't know. But anyway, we're back. And we're going to have a little bit of a truncated show this morning, obviously, because of the few minutes of dead air space there. I apologize for that. This is Steve Martin. This is the Aristic Watchman program for the 8th day of December 2009. And I want to start off real quick with just a verse of scripture. And then this morning we're going to be having gubernatorial candidate Paul LePage returning to the program. And he'll be on in just a few minutes with us. But before we get to that, let me just read this passage of scripture found in 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of gods and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be ye separate, says the Lord. That's an important scripture because a lot of times we as Christians tend to try to be just like the world. We want to look like them, sound like them, taste like them, smell like them. Everything, you know? Except maybe we don't drink quite as much, or maybe we go to church on Sunday. But, folks, that's not what Christianity is about.
Those are horrible temptations.
There's Jack. Hey, Jack. Good morning.
Hi,
Bud. What did you just say? No, Jack's having problems with his phone this morning, I guess. We'll continue on, and I got a few announcements this morning, and then hopefully we'll have a guest joining us in about 3 or 4 minutes. First announcement is that the Lincoln Town Hall meeting will be taking place this Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. That's at the Lincoln Town Hall in Lincoln, of all places. And if you want to check out more about this town hall meeting, you can go to thmeeting.web.officelive.com. There will be several speakers there, mostly current elected representatives. Some of them have a clue. Some of them probably don't yet about what's really going on in this country. But some good ones will be there, like Roger Sherman, Henry Joy, Doug Thomas. And this will begin at 1 o'clock at the Lincoln Town Hall in Lincoln. So if you'd like to ride down and join with a group of patriots down there and see if we can't network a little, get the Aroostook County folks to maybe put a light of fire under these Penobscot County folks and get them on the right track back towards what a real Republican should be, for example, come join us. And if you need a ride, give me an email. mepatriot@juno.com is my email address. Also, if you are struggling with your advertising budget, trying to figure out how can you maximize your bang for the buck, the most reasonable deal I know of for advertising in Aroostook County is to advertise on this station, WXME AM 780. 30-second spots are $1 per piece, minimum 100. So call the station if you're interested in that at 207-538-9180. That's 207-538-9180. If you're outside the listening area, or you know friends that should be listening to this program and learning from what we've got here, and would like to do that, but can't get the signal on your AM radio dial, you can listen a couple of other ways. One is you can dial 712-432-7225, and you can listen live over your telephone. Another way is to go to our website at Aroostook Watchman. It's A-R-O-O-S-T-O-O-K, Watchmen, plural, .com. And click on Listen Live. You can listen live over the Internet. The program also goes out on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. At least it had been. I'm not positive with the staff changes if that's still taking place. But Wednesday night at 7 p.m. over 7.415 on the shortwave dial. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be joined by our gubernatorial candidate, Paul LePage. And we'll be right back on the flip side with you. Good morning, folks. This is Steve Martin, host of the Aroostook Watchman radio program, and I'd like to talk to you about a product that you need to have as part of your personal preparedness kit with all the rumors about disastrous diseases bogus pandemics and strange mutations, you need to make sure that your personal immune system is working at peak capacity. One way you can do that is by looking at this product called OxySilver. OxySilver pioneers a new class of mineral waters, providing the most powerful immune system support in healthcare history. Used daily by people who need it, or periodically whenever necessary to regain or sustain health, it can be relied upon more assuredly than any product ever developed. Silver hydrosols in general are superior, powerful, broad-spectrum antimicrobials, and they've been scientifically proven safe, effective, and life-saving in hospitals and health clinics when used sparingly, according to health and environmentally conscious recommendations. OxySilver is designed to help you feel and generally perform better than ever before. The OxySilver molecules have been proven to assist the body in a variety of beneficial and remarkable ways. Key among these is the freedom from infectious diseases that are plaguing the world today. To get your first bottle of OxySilver Health Guard, please visit aroostokwatchman.com. That's A-R-O-O-S-T-O-O-K, Watchmen, plural. And slide on down and click on the link for OxySilver Health Guard. Welcome back, folks, to the Aroostok Watchman program for Tuesday, December 8th, 2009. This is your host, Steve Martin, and I don't know if my co-host is there yet. Are you there, Jack?
Hi, buddy.
Oh, there he is. Jack?
I'm here.
Are you on a line that works now? Did you call here earlier, by the way, to the house?
Yes.
Okay, well, whatever phone you were using at that time is not working. This one is working, so that's good news. Glad to have you on the line with us. And hopefully we are now joined on the other line by gubernatorial candidate Paul LePage. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he is. Wonderful to have you with us again, sir.
Thank you.
So tell us how things are going out there on the campaign trail. What's the latest, most exciting news you can share with us?
Well, we went to Waldoboro last evening and had a packed house. It was I was scheduled to speak for 30 minutes, and started at 6:30, and at 8:30, they said no more questions.
Wow. Well, that's good news. What kind of reception are you getting?
Getting an absolutely wonderful reception.
They're not beating you up, then?
Not at all. Not yet. That comes later.
Yeah. They'll start prodding. If you start getting high in the polls, they'll really start prodding and poking for every possible weakness. So be ready.
Absolutely.
Now, I know my co-host, Jack, sent you some sort of email yesterday with a few questions in there. Jack, you want to kind of talk to him about that?
Oh, I wondered if you had time, if you'd take a look at that.
I did not get them because I was in a board meeting all day with the owners of the company.
Were you bored?
Was I bored? No, not at all. They took me yesterday.
Okay.
And then I left right from here to go speak, and I didn't get back till after 10, so I'm just getting in here a few
minutes. Not a problem. You know what, though? I would have bet you that Martin's is probably doing okay in an economic downturn, right?
You know, it's been an interesting year. We've always thought we were recession-proof, and for the most part, I guess we are.
Yeah.
But what we found this year is the big-ticket items have gone real flat on us. Overall, like our furniture and flooring is way, way off, but made up for it in the smaller consumable goods.
So everybody is going to the outlets like yours, but they're not even buying the big-ticket items there. They're really skimping, huh?
That's correct. They're buying the ticket items. You know, the average sale is way down.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, the customer count is up, so we're holding.
Yeah, I was going to say the customer count should be up. That's good. Well, I mean,
yeah.
People's doing litter and laundry soap and things that are going to be in short supply if things start to dry up.
Correct. Food.
New living room set may not be essential for survival, but it's pretty high on the list.
That is correct. That's exactly.
For those of you who don't know, Paul, what exactly is your title there, anyway?
I'm general manager. I take care of all the retail stores.
Okay, and how many do you have?
We're going to be opening up our 15th one here in, I'd say, next 60 days, right after Christmas.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're going to be expanding into Scarborough and opening up a store in Scarborough.
Okay, are all your stores in Maine?
All our stores are in Maine, yes.
Huh, wow.
Family-owned Maine company.
Well, let's start with that then, because it seems like you guys are probably a pretty rare outfit with regard to being an exclusively Maine, I don't want to call you a small business, mid-sized business. No. How have you found that the anti-business climate in Augusta has affected your operations over the years?
It's an ongoing battle. It really is an ongoing battle. And I understand that when people are elected and they go to Augusta, they don't think that they're anti-business. But whenever there's a downturn in the state or whenever the state needs more money, they come to the business sector. And they do it in the form of new regulations, and they add fees to it, or they just tax you to death. And right now we are struggling. In fact, that's the primary reason why I'm running for governor, is we just can't sustain it. It's just not sustainable, and we just need to bring some common sense and some reduced regulations to Augusta.
Well, I think part of the problem may be that a lot of the folks that get elected to Augusta have never run a business or haven't been involved in the business world very much, and so they seem to think there's this bottomless pit of money out there called the Maine small business community that they can just tap forever.
Absolutely. And we seem to be the enemy, and we really should be the partner. We need to be working with the elected people to find solutions to these problems, and what they're doing is they just turn around and add legislation. Right now, for instance, the sales tax increase that they would have taken effect in January, that's on hold now until June,
right?
Adds, now we have, if you sell any groceries at all, you have three forms. You have non-taxable, taxable at 5%, taxable at 7.5%. And then you have to make a determination and read all the labels to make sure that certain products, they have a certain amount of sugar in it, it becomes 7.5, and if it has less sugar, it's 5, and it's an impossible thing to do.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to have a full-time person at every store just to keep track of that.
Just to keep track of what's taxable and what's not. Yesterday, we got it just recently. We have the federal government just came in, the IRS just came in, and they're doing an audit on, it's called an excise tax on chemicals that deplete the ozone.
And what?
So give me a break.
That is correct. That is correct. And we never heard of it. We called around for the last week or so, calling vendors and calling some of our competition. Have you ever heard of this? And they said, absolutely not. But sure enough, it was put in effect during the Clinton administration.
The Clinton administration?
That's correct.
Oh.
And this is the first that we've heard of it. And that we're
going what is this,
doing.
6 years later? 7 years later?
It's a decade later.
Decade? Okay, oh, that's right. There was two terms with that Bush guy. Yeah, it's been over. Oh, my goodness. And so where did they come? Did they just, like, show up at your general offices?
Yeah, they show up. They
without even unannounced? Like, we're here.
Oh, no,
we're on your doorstep?
They're announced. They announced. They sent us a letter a couple weeks ago, so we've been doing some research. And they showed up. And what we do now is we have to go through everything we've purchased in bedding, fishing rods, anything that came from Mexico, anything came from Canada, anything came from the Pacific Rim that's sold in our stores that have certain chemicals in them.
Oh, my
goodness. And being a surplus and salvage, some of it we don't even know.
And some of it's bound into hard, I mean, it's not. They're not talking about liquids. We're talking about plastics and stuff, right?
That's correct. Plastic, foams, those type of things.
Oh, my goodness.
Never had an idea. And so now we're going to be spending the next several weeks and an enormous amount of staff time trying to figure out what this is all about. We knew nothing of it. I mean, we were just floored. We just had no idea what was happening.
So are you hearing from other companies that are facing this same ridiculous situation right now? Or?
Well, we've been calling around the last few days just trying to figure out is this legit? You know, we thought there was somebody was pulling a joke at first.
Yeah.
But no, it's a legitimate law. We had to have our accountants in here. And
well, why weren't your accountants telling you about this years ago?
It's not legitimate.
They're telling us that it is a law. It's been on the book.
They should lock.
And we have to abide by it.
Man. Okay, so what exactly is the impact going to be in terms of your tax collection or whatever?
Well, this means here, I guess the law is designed this. Whoever imports products has to pay this excise tax. If the manufacturer didn't pay, then the seller has to pay. So we're going through everything that we sold for the last few years to see how bad it's going to impact us. Right now, we're thinking we've probably sold in the million, you know, it's in the $1 million range.
Oh, my.
So, we got
so it's going to be retroactively applied, of course. Well, not retroactively,
oh,
but
yeah.
They're just now telling you about it. Oh, by the way, you owe us $50,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's correct. So we have to go through now and see everything that we purchased, where it came from, and research.
Oh,
it's our responsibility to research if the tax has been paid.
Well, you know, Paul, it's going to take you more. It's going to cost you more money in staff time than it is in, you know, it's going to double the impact of it.
Sure, sure. Because what the responsibility is, we have to see if somebody paid the tax when it was manufactured and shipped to the U.S. And so it's just an incredible challenge.
Oh, my goodness. And there's no way you can challenge this at all.
No. It's something that should have been handled at customs at the time of importation, and it may have been. That's the sad part, is it may have been.
It's up to you to try to find out if it was. Oh, my goodness. This is a nightmare.
That's right. We have to go find out whether or not it was. And if it wasn't, we pay it. If it was, oh, thank you very much.
So you may be talking, what, hundreds of invoices you have to go and review now?
Thousands.
Thousands. Thousands.
Yeah. We go back to 2006, and most furniture that we sell is not made here in the country anymore. So it's anything and everything that we sold that has any form of chemical, and there's a list of chemicals, and we have to research. I'm not up to speed on the science of it, but it's an awful lot of stuff.
Well, you know, you've probably heard in recent days about the leaking of these memos from the East Anglia University about the fact that the entire global warming thing is a hoax anyway.
Exactly.
Right, and this is just one minor example of an impact on the economy based on flawed science, not just flawed science, made up science, lying science.
Exactly. Al Gore must be just laughing himself into a frenzy here.
Yeah.
Because he's making millions on it.
And of course, this week.
Just this little incident with you should be.
Jack, I don't know what you're using for a phone line, man, but it ain't working. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, let's go back to this for a second. You know, the next step, of course, is we have this Copenhagen Treaty this week. There's a big, I don't know if you heard about this one, a big hullabaloo over in Copenhagen where they're going to be discussing further ways to penalize the Western nations for our sins of having had an industrial revolution. They literally want us to pay reparations to poorer nations, to developing nations. And, you know, our president is going to show up at this Copenhagen summit.
I hope he wakes up this week.
Oh, it's just, how much worse can it get? I mean, it's already practically impossible for, you know, a mid-sized company like yours to make a decent profit in an environment like, you know, what we're seeing now with all the financial panic and the banksters going wild, and now they're adding all these additional regulations and burdens on you. It's almost as though, Paul, and I don't want to sound, you know, off the wall here, it's almost as though government would love to shut down every independent business and become the entire, you know, the master of the entire economy.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I sense that there's a movement in this country that says, you know, business, the capitalists are bad, and we need to take over and distribute wages. And been tried, it hasn't worked. And even China, who has still a communist country, has gone to a market system. So I don't know why they're trying to reinvent the wheel, but we are trying to reinvent the wheel. And it's just very, very difficult to do business on a day-to-day basis. And we are, you know, we've been in business since 1964, so we are sort of not immune to it, but we're used to to the regulations, and we've been in business so long now that we have sort of experience and a staffing to deal with some of the crisis. But like yesterday, we got caught off guard. We had no idea. And the problem is, they come in and say, "Well, you violated the law." Well, you know, fine, but we didn't know it existed. Nobody knew it existed. We've
right.
been calling around.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask you. Have you talked to other Maine businesses? Is anybody else being hit with this in Maine?
Don't know. I'm sure that they're probably going to be.
Wow.
It's, you know, the government's going to be looking for revenue, so whatever's in the code, they're going to be searching it out.
Have you talked to any of the big firms like JCPenney, Sears, Kmart, any of those guys, and see, you know, see if maybe they've already dealt with this? Or will they not talk to you?
They don't discuss those type of things. But we have spoken to some of our suppliers who provide the product, and they had no idea that there was this type of tax.
Oh, this is just absurd. I mean, it's, you know, we were going to talk about a lot of other things with you this morning, but this one has got me so upset right now, and I'm sure it does have you upset as well. But this is just a perfect example of a government that's totally out of control, totally insensitive to the needs of the people.
And absolutely does not care whether or not it creates a burden. They just say, this is what it is, and do it. And there's that old, we're the big daddy, and you just do what we tell you.
Right. Shut up and pay your taxes.
Shut up and pay your taxes.
That's the attitude. All right, so if you are elected governor, what can you do as the chief executive of this state to at least address some of this stuff coming from D.C.?
Well, from D.C., some of the things you can do, and one of them that comes to mind is this quota that they're putting on the herring. I think we as a state just need to stand up and say, you can't do that. You're violating the Constitution, and we're just not going to abide by it. Now, of course, what they do is they say, oh, we don't want you to violate the Constitution. We're not violating the Constitution. We're just telling you if you want our money, you have to do it. Well, at some point, I think we're going to have to sit back and say, you know, it's a cost-benefit analysis. It's costing us too much to do business with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just going to have to say no to them.
Okay. So, in other words, you are prepared to enforce the 10th Amendment if the feds don't seem to get it on their own?
Absolutely.
All right. And as governor, then, have you thought through the process of what happens next? So, I mean, I know there's all – it seems like all the time they have these – how shall we say it, extortion rackets between the states where, like, if you refuse to do something, well, they'll hold back highway funds or education funds or this or that. So how do we address that issue? Do we just go ahead and say, we'll bite the bullet and do without government, you know, federal money?
In some of them you have to, but I think you have to challenge them in the high courts. And I believe that if I'm governor, there are going to be some challenges, I can assure you. There are going to be some major challenges. And in some respects, my sense is if some of them would go and some of them will, they'll just cave in. I really believe that they'll realize that what they're doing is wrong. I mean, right now, the science on herring is they don't know whether or not the herring is in trouble. They readily admit it. We don't know.
Okay.
But we want to reduce the quotas just in case.
Yeah.
That, to me, is flawed.
Yeah.
And in that case, you say, I'm sorry, but we're going to be fishing until you prove to us that the herring are in trouble.
There you go. That makes perfect sense to me, too. I mean, and that's the same. Of course, that is a microcosm of the whole global warming debate. You have all these people saying that we're going into a global warming. Then you have others saying we're going to a global cooling. Nobody knows.
Nobody
really
knows.
The science is not established, despite all of what Al Gore might try to say, and yet we're going to do all these things anyway, just in case.
Yeah, right. I think that's insane. I think what you do is you use the best available science and technology, and you try to be as good a steward of the earth as you possibly can.
Right.
And you don't say, well, we're not going to pay attention. You do pay attention to science. And if you're proven that there is some damage being done, you have to react to it. I have no problem with that.
Right.
But to do it just in case with not knowing the science, I think is absurd.
Right, or to push forward an agenda, which is, and look, if you really check into the background of some of these people pushing this, they are for global government. They could give a rip about the environment. Well, they might care a little bit about the environment. But the big prize is control over people.
That is correct.
That's what they're using this whole global warming
that's
scare for.
Absolutely what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what really bothers me. And then to have these reports of all the, you know, the changing of data, the elimination of counterpoints on all these, you know, peer-reviewed journals for papers that are just as well established in the science, maybe even grounded better in the science, and then saying, well, we're going to change the rules about how we accept papers. I mean, all of this is just, I can't understand how anyone with good conscience puts up with it. And yet, despite all these revelations, these globalist, global warming idiots are just marching forward as though nothing happened.
Exactly, and they buy into to the scams, and, you know, we just need to fight back, and it's coming. I really believe it's coming. I think with this, you know, this new president claimed that we're going to have change in this election, and he did. Him going to Washington is waking up a lot of Americans.
Oh, it sure is, yeah.
The change that we're getting is not the change that we're looking for.
Sure.
We need to bring back some common sense.
Right, that's right. Well, of course, if you are elected governor as well, then you'll at various times and occasions you'll be able to actually meet with other governors. I know there's some governors' forums that take place from time to time. Do you have is part of your strategy to make sure that whatever Maine does in terms of standing up for the 10th Amendment that you have some company in that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that. And I think this next election we're going to see that. We're going to see a lot more of it. I think that there's going to be a shift in the nation. And, you know, and I'm not sure if you call it shifting an ideology, but you're going to be shifting to people wanting better answers, better. You know, they're not going to just put up with just everything that's being said.
Yeah.
I think we saw it in Virginia recently. We saw it in Maryland. I mean, the tide is turning, and people are saying, now, wait a minute, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a claim, you better have some proof. And I think that that's what I'm going to be looking for. And I'm going to be certainly looking at other governors in other states, seeing what they're doing, and seeing if we can't be good, you know, continue to be good stewards of our earth, but at the same time, bring some common sense and allow people to earn a decent living. I mean, right now, it's affecting our ability to run our businesses. It's incredible, some of the list of chemicals that are taken off the shelves. And,
yeah, I mean, and some of them, and, again, with no scientific reason to do that.
And right. No scientific reason. That's
right.
My issue is, listen, if it's bad, show me where it's bad, and we'll be right with you. But they can't. Well, it might be. Well, you know, that's just not cutting it anymore because the list is getting too big.
That's right, Paul. I don't know if you heard, but there have been a couple of states so far. I know Tennessee and Alaska come immediately to mind. There may be others as well that have actually passed through both houses and had the governor sign a declaration reasserting the 10th Amendment. They call them the state sovereignty resolutions. We've had on this program once before, and we'll have her on again Thursday, State Representative Susan Lynn from Tennessee, who was charged by her state legislature to be the liaison between her legislature and all the legislators of the other states. And she's sending out a letter, if she hasn't already done so, telling them what Tennessee has done with regard to this issue and urging other states to follow suit. Now, I know that Representative Richard Sebra, I don't know if you know that name or not.
Yes, I do.
From down to Portland area. He actually had introduced a similar resolution here in Maine a year or so ago, but it never even got through the legislative council. So I wanted you to just be aware that effort is out there, that other states are already way ahead of Maine in terms of saying, look, federal government, stop destroying our jobs and our economy and let the states run the states, which is the way our country was designed.
Exactly. In fact,
if you'd like a copy of that Tennessee resolution, I can provide it for you. I have it on my computer.
I would love to have it. I think
it's
a wonderful
to you.
Idea.
All right, yeah, scoot that
absolutely
right down. You have his email now, Jack, so that's good. Get that done. That's because and it might even behoove you. I don't know what your schedule's like Thursday morning, but you might even want to listen in on that because she is one dynamic gal, and the Tennessee legislature passed that. I believe it was with two or three dissenting votes only.
Very few.
Very few.
It's a well-worded, and it's got teeth.
Yeah.
If we don't get some teeth pretty soon, we're going to keep getting bit.
Big time.
I'm done.
Some call me a maverick and a rebel, but I'll tell you, we need to stand up because our rights are being taken away from us day by day in the workplace, in our lives. I mean, we just got to say enough is enough. Let us live in our states. Let us bring up our family. Let us work in harmony, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Want to be tax us reasonably, fine, but don't tax us unnecessarily, and that's what's happening.
Well, you want to know something, Paul? I'll share a little secret with you. The only reason you're back on this program is because you are a maverick and a rebel.
Well, we have to be. I mean, we've gotten to the point where it's just incredible. We have five kids, and they're all out of Maine right now. And people say, well, why are you running for governor? Well, you know something? It's hard to travel to North Carolina, Florida, Canada to visit your grandkids. It'd be nice if they could earn a decent living right here, and we could all enjoy our families. And we're not doing that anymore.
Right. They all got to go somewhere else.
The state has to take more and more of our earned income to give away to unearned income beneficiaries. It's a nanny state, and the nanny state, by definition, goes broke because you can't take care of everybody all the time that doesn't want to earn their own way.
That is correct.
It's not possible. It's just you can't fix the numbers. You can't do enough magic to make it happen.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, you know, in this state right now, well, in any society, the private sector is the only sector that creates new capital. The public sector can only redistribute capital. It can't generate new capital. And so what's happening is when the state runs out of money, they come to the private sector and they take our capital. That's what's happening.
Yep.
They're just taking our capital.
That's right.
Redistributing the capital.
Yep.
You know, it's so bad in Maine now. We have a young lady, and I call her my poster child. She makes $12.50 an hour, hasn't had an increase in 2 years, because if I give her an increase, she loses her food stamps, her Maine care, and her heat assistance. And she says, you know, 50 cents an hour isn't going to replace that.
Oh, that's
so
way.
It's just insanity. And what I'm saying is what we need to do is have a system, if it's truly a safety net. And that's what they like to call it, the safety net. Well, the safety net should protect them when they get in trouble, not a lifetime entitlement.
That's right, absolutely.
And what we need to do.
But that's what they said about Social Security.
Yes,
Social Security was never meant to be a retirement. It was only supposed to be there in case in your old age you were to keep you from being destitute. It's not supposed to be a retirement so you can maintain your lifestyle.
That is correct.
Well,
you know, one of the big problems we've had, too, and it has nothing to do with state government in this particular case again, but the federal government, is all these free trade agreements we've signed going back to NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization and all that. Everything there, it seems to me, is designed to benefit others at the expense of the United States worker.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, here's a good example yesterday. I mean, they're imported products. If they're made in the U.S., interestingly, if the product that is made in the U.S. Depletes the ozone, there's no excise tax. It's only if it came from a foreign country.
those are just insane regulations, Paul. Let me take just a second. I want to read you the first part of what I sent you as an email and just ask you to respond to it. It's this is a little bit, the excerpt from one small part of one of the pages we wrote out at Continental Congress 2009. whereas we the people do not consent to supranational nations, national bodies, which may or may not seek to become a world or even regional governing body. Therefore, be it resolved that we the people do hereby claim and ordain ourselves independent from all supranational bodies, including but not limited to the United Nations and any subsidiary thereof, the International Monetary Fund, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and any so-called free trade treaties or organizations, NAFTA, GATT, GATE, and others, the World Health Organization group which seeks to subvert our constitution, such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, any treaties that infringe on our right to self-governance and organizations they may create, and any others they may exist or arise. What do you think?
Love it.
Okay, so you're on board with getting out all of them.
I'm on all of them. I won't go so far as say of all of them, but the majority of them, the World Trade Organization, the NAFTAs, have proven to be nothing but a major problem. If we're going to have free trade, then we just open the borders and we have free trade. For instance, is it Colombia? I believe it's in Colombia right now. They send their products to the U.S. because they passed the treaty. We in Congress have delayed the treaty, therefore we're paying on our products going to Colombia. Now, does that make sense?
Of course not. Because nobody really believes in free trade. They only believe in free trade as it benefits them. It's restrictive trade if you can make a buck on it in tariffs or duties.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. United Nations, I'm not ready to say that I'd run away from that one because I'll be very honest, only because I don't know enough about it. I need to study it more.
Okay, well, we'll help you with that. Because you're talking to two of the most adamant anti-UN people on the planet, let me tell you.
Paul, great. Before we run out of time, I got to get into the issue of forestry. And, you know, that's up here in Aroostook County, we used to make a pretty decent living, a lot of people did anyway, you know, off of our working forests and off of our farmlands. It seems like every time we turn around, there's new regulations that are affecting negatively our own people's ability to cut wood in our own backyards.
Well, let me tell you something. The first part of my career was in the forest products industry. I was a regional controller for Scott Paper Company in the Northeast for the Natural Resource Division. We managed 1 million acres. I absolutely agree with you that LURC and the DEP are preventing us from earning a living. And matter of fact, some of the paper companies have left because they could not be competitive enough.
Right,
and
right.
Allowed to be competitive.
Well, even worse than all that is we allow foreign workers, Canadians in this case, to come in and cut you know, wood that American workers should be cutting. It just makes no sense.
It makes no sense. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I hesitate to give this guy's name because he's a Democrat, but Senator Troy Jackson has been on the front line of that battle for a long, long time. And, you know, he may have some, you know, issues. I know he has a lot of issues that I would disagree with him on. But with regard to what we need to do to get the Maine forest working like it should for Maine people again, he's probably the best guy in the Senate.
Right. I don't care what the name says on the door, as long as you're doing the right stuff on the inside.
Right.
David Trahan's another one that's working hard, too.
Good. Yeah, I know David's a good man, too. Yeah.
Yeah. David seems to be really pushing that hard.
So as governor, you would make that a priority as well, see if we can...
Absolutely.
All right.
I believe that in order to get Maine going again, we have to get our forest and we have to get our farmlands, our agricultural base, moving again, and we have to reduce the regulations. For instance, the one that gets me, and I laugh about it, every time I'm out speaking, we get a laugh from it, is the state of Maine is the only state in the union that taxes bull semen.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
We passed about 4 or 5 years ago, and we tax bull semen.
Oh, my goodness. There's no end to what they will tax, is there?
I mean, we just need to. There's no common sense there.
No, no. There's sure.
And,
there certainly isn't.
And so we just need to put our farms back to work. We need to put our forests back to work. And more important, and in addition to all that, we need to make sure that we benefit.
Jack, can you cover the receiver, please?
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we get cheap energy in this state. Now they're trying to get gas from Canada, and they're trying to get hydropower from Canada down to the Boston market coming through Maine.
Yeah.
And we're not. I don't see where we're going to be benefiting from that. And I think we need to have that cheap energy.
Right.
And I think we need to be able to get back in our forests and on our land. And if we generate cheap energy, we need to benefit from it. Maine people.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's right. As the wind power projects that are going up now are designed, we will not benefit from it.
That's correct, and that is wrong.
Right.
Period.
One other thing on the farming side, before we get away from that completely, I know three farmers in the Houlton area. Used to, you know, big, fairly large potato farmers who employed, you know, a lot of students and stuff in the fall and whatnot. And all three of them are out of business now because I think it was Frito-Lay. They sent their potatoes down there under the contracts the way they were written. Frito-Lay gets to keep the potatoes for however many months, and then they decided they didn't like the way they were frying up, so they sent them back. I mean, and of course, the farmers have little choice but to sign with them because there's hardly anybody else that's buying Maine potatoes. We need to do something on that side, too, to make sure that these contracts are fair.
Yeah, contracts are fair and they're honored.
Yeah.
Once you sign it, you know, that's one thing I liked about Mr. Martin. This man did not like lawyers. And his contract. Every contract he had was a handshake. You looked the man in the eye and he shook his hand. And you got to
go.
We got to go back to some of that.
Oh, absolutely, we do. We need to get that culture back. But that culture, it requires a moral people. And I'm not sure if we've got that anymore.
Yeah, honesty and morality and integrity.
Yeah.
You're right. I remember Mickey telling me that when he was in the state Senate for a term and he couldn't take any more in the term. He just said it was just incredible how far down our state had deteriorated in the whole area of honesty and integrity.
Oh, it's just awful. Yeah, there's a few honest ones left, but they're fighting an uphill battle constantly, and they lose because they're honest. They lose because they're honest. That's what's so obnoxious.
It wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't obvious to the most casual observer that it could be fixed so simply. Maine has a very well-written constitution, and it is totally ignored.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. I mean, we just spent 11 days out in Illinois, and on the national side, on the federal side, the constitution is so simple, and if we just used it properly, most of these problems go away. But that flies in the face of the lawyers and the globalists who want to bleed us down to nothing. And so all we have to do is reinforce the true organic laws that exist, and most of these other things go away. But it depends on how far we want to go as far as how far we want to take it back until it hurts my pocket.
Look at trial lawyers. I mean, in this new tax that they were going to pass, all the services and all the labors were going to be taxed except for accountants and lawyers.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just incredible.
Right.
Well, Paul, we're out of time, but tell us how folks can check out all your positions and how could they donate and all that kind of good stuff.
Our website is lepage2010.com.
Okay, L-E-P-A-G-E.
It's lepage2010.com.
All right.
And we have a donation page there, or they can send donations to Committee to Elect LePage Governor.
Okay.
438 Main Street, Waterville, Maine.
All right.
04901.
Give that whole address again.
438 Main Street, Waterville, Maine, 04901.
04901. Excellent. Now, on your website, do you have or will you soon be getting some detailed position statements on things?
Absolutely. That's what we've been working on all weekend.
Excellent. Fantastic. Because you know the other candidates aren't doing that.
That's correct. We're developing position statements now. In the first year, they should be all out there.
Yeah, it seems to be vogue in the main GOP, at least, that we don't tell people where we stand. So when we get elected, we can do whatever we darn well please.
Well, the one thing that I can assure Maine people is this. I'm a straight shooter. I don't pull any punches. If I don't know, I will be the first to tell you. But at the same token, when I believe in something, it's an all-out press to get it accomplished.
Well, Paul, it's been a pleasure, sir. And I appreciate you, and you keep on keeping on, man. We'll have you back again later on in the campaign to see how things are going.
Very good. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a great one.
We'll stay in touch, believe me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm impressed. I like the guy.
Yeah, he's a straight shooter.
Straight shooter. I like straight shooters. I don't care if I disagree with him or not. I'm just looking for straight shooters.
And you heard him say that, you know, he didn't know the answers, but he still studied. I mean, that's the kind. I like to hear that. You know, I like to hear a guy saying, if I don't know, you know, but I'm learning and I'm working on it. That's what I like to hear.
You've got to be an administrator. You can't know everything. You just got to know that you got to go find out the answer.
Right, and surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Well, I've used that
example
all the time.
That's Ron Paul's fatal flaw, by the way. As much as I love Ron Paul, he has no clue about
right.
how to surround himself with good people.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, when I was the chief engineer on a ship, that didn't mean I was an expert on every system. That just meant that I knew a little bit about each one, enough to find out an expert if I had some real trouble to come in and I wouldn't know that he was doing it right. I didn't have to be able to do it all. That's what administrators are for.
Absolutely.
You're a diesel mechanic, you fix diesels. But when you're an administrator, like a governor or a senator or a president, you have to be able, you can't know it all. You have to be able to have enough common sense and enough dignity to say, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to call in an expert and get it done right.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
We got to wrap her up, so give us a quick little exposition on some products, and then we'll say goodbye for the day.
We'll just do a quickie. Make sure you got your vitamin D, folks. Things are out there that you don't want. Keep your immune system strong. Plenty of water, good. Alkaline water. Acid conditions are how all degenerative diseases take a foothold. So you got to get alkaline. Do everything you can. Greens and good water. So give us a call at nordfda.com and gmail.com, 694-0721, and get a catalog for County Co-op. And we'll see what we can do about getting you some food to store and stock up so you don't run out. See you tomorrow on the radio, folks.
Excellent. Tomorrow's guest will be Bob Emmerich. We're going to be talking about how we can finally put this homosexual gay marriage agenda thing to bed. They're trying to work on it again, you know, nefariously behind closed doors. And we're going to have to see if we can't come up with a constitutional amendment drive. I think that's the way to solve it. So that'll be tomorrow. Thursday's Representative Susan Lynn from Tennessee, we'll be talking about how other states are doing in terms of trying to get get themselves to assert their state authorities. And then Friday will be Dr. Adrian Gibbs, and you don't want to miss that one. That's going to be a huge interview on Friday.
That should be intense.
What's that, Jack?
That should be intense.
It should be. He's the for those of you who don't know, Dr. Adrian Gibbs is probably the foremost virologist in the world, and he's saying that he believes that the H1N1 could very well have been the result of, at a bare minimum, a lab accident, if not a lab, shall we say, plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all the time we have for today, folks. Have a prosperous, productive, and happy day, and we'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
Good day, folks.